honor this morning of having a ministry team with us from Bethel Supernatural School of Ministry out of Redding, California. If you've ever heard of Bill Johnson, some of his books, he started a school several years ago that has just exploded, and people from all around the world are coming to this school to be trained in how to bring the supernatural into the natural parts of their life. And what I love about this ministry and the school and the team that's come, it's not about the platform ministry. When we think supernatural and signs and wonders, a lot of times we think of the healing evangelist, and thank God for them and the anointing they have and what they've done and how God has used them. But the supernatural needs to get off of this platform and needs to get into the pews and into the streets and into the everyday part of our lives. Okay? The supernatural is not for something, it's not for us to just be spectators of and go, oh my goodness, wow, you know? Look what happened on Sunday through the man of God or the woman of God. The supernatural is intended for you to have in your everyday life. What if it became natural for the supernatural to be part of your life? So we're excited about that. And that's why we've invited the BAM team, the Bethel Activation Ministry. I got that right? Hey, help me out here. I got a lot to remember this morning. Bethel Activation. I like the word activation, right? They're going to activate us to do the work of the ministry. They're doing Ephesians chapter 5. They're equipping the body to do this kind of stuff. And I want to read this scripture and then I'm going to introduce them. This scripture is this team. Listen carefully. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, he said, "When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear, and with much trembling." He said this, "My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but," here it is, "with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power." I love that. That describes this team. That describes this team. Francesco is leading this team, and you're going to love him. I love your spirit, the whole team, your humility. Now, it's so much all about Jesus and what He does. And last night we had a healing service and several, maybe even dozens of people were healed. Miraculous. I mean, instantly last night. 9:30 last night, I got a text from one of our dads here in the church who has a daughter with hearing aids. And he texted just these short words. He goes, "My daughter can hear." 3 exclamation points. My daughter can hear. What do you do with that? You do what you're doing. You celebrate that. And so Francesco is coming, and he's going to share some more of those testimonies. And we believe God's going to do more of that here this morning in the 11 o'clock service. And tonight at 6:30, we have a healing service again tonight. So put on your dancing shoes and come out tonight, because we're just going to expect God to do some great things. Amen? Amen. Put your hands together for Francesco today.
Wow, good morning, everyone. It is so incredible to be here. Unfortunately, my wife couldn't be here. She is at home in California, but she has been praying for you all, and I've been dialoguing with her over the past couple of days. We've been FaceTiming and texting and all, and I've just been saying the worship is so phenomenal here, and the church is so phenomenal, and the people are so incredible. They're so warm. They're so friendly. I said, I feel like I've been here before. I feel like I've experienced the worship here before, and yet this is our first time here. And so you guys have just such a phenomenal congregation, such a phenomenal church, and Pastor Mark and his wife Joni have been hosting me specifically, and I've been saying that. I told my wife, I said, she says, "Where are you staying? Is everything great?" And I said, "Everything is amazing. I am staying on the palace on the hill," and it's been so phenomenal. And then this is super funny. Last night, I get a text from a gentleman, one of my good friends. He's from Alabama, but he's living in California. That is right. So, listen, for all of you, that was not rehearsed. That is just That is called passion right there. That is passion. But he texted me last night and he said, hey, I was praying for you today, Francesco, and Romans 12 kept on coming up, and I just wanted to just give that to you, just that word for you. So I read through it, and then I forget what verse it is. It's probably somewhere right in the middle. It says something like, seek to give all the brothers, to meet all their needs and to practice hospitality. And I was like, wow, that's phenomenal. That has happened to me. That is a fulfillment of the scripture this weekend. So we just feel so hosted. And thank you so much, Pastor Walt and Carrie, for just hosting us. It's been great here. And so appreciate all of your encouragement and all the passion that you guys have. It's been great interacting with everyone and all. And so this morning, I want to share a couple of fun stories. I want to share some testimonies. We believe in the testimony. We believe in Revelations 19. It talks about how the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And we always love in Reading and everywhere we travel, we just love to share testimonies, not just to share cool stories. It's not even about that. It's more just to stop and marvel about what Jesus is doing on the earth today. And I mean, you know, the gospel is called the good news. And I think there's just a lot of people out there, including myself, that continually need good news. I know that I have great days, and so do you. And I know that we all have like some bad days and crummy days. And I know that it happens. You know, that's kind of life. You know, like I get discouraged. I'm human. You know, thank God I'm not a robot. I praise Jesus for that all the time. You know, that I'm not a robot, but that I just, you know, like that. I it's by His grace that I just continue to strengthen myself in Him and in the power of His might and in His joy and in the good news that He's done and all the testimonies. So we're just going to share some fun testimonies like that. I think when I heard that this morning, I was almost in tears. Just that one statement, my daughter can now hear. Like that is so phenomenal. And it just points to Jesus Christ. It points to the revelation of Jesus Christ and what Jesus is doing on the earth today. I think you look at, I mentioned about good news and bad news, but you read the news a lot and it's all about all the bad stuff that's happening around the world. And hey, that's great. We're positioned in the world to pray for that and pray for heaven to invade earth, right? Matthew chapter 7, pray this way, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I think that's what Pastor Walt was saying earlier, is that the supernatural life invading the natural life is very simply just heaven invading earth. It's what God does in heaven that comes down to earth. It's what Jesus did in the Gospels when He came to earth, as He invaded earth with all of His goodness. And He came to heal the sick and deliver people and bring good tidings of great joy, right? And people that were discouraged, people that were just having bad days, you know, He was there to encourage them. And so I want to introduce my team. They speaking about encouragement, I've been so encouraged having them on the trip. They're both from Switzerland and had paid a big price to come to Reading. How many of you have heard of Reading before? Wow. I was surprised. I was intending to ask that question and no one to say I know where it is. Just because it's a city that's sort of out of the way. It's not near a major city. It takes effort to get there. And what we're experiencing is such a phenomenal thing, where there's a lot of people that are coming from all over the world to come to Bethel because they have heard a drumbeat, if I could use that metaphor. They have heard a drumbeat in their hearts, and they say, like, this is my family, this is my tribe, I want to go and experience what God is doing there. It's very similar to what you guys have experienced here. There's a drumbeat that's happening in this church at Glad Tidings, and all of you are here to celebrate that, to come and position yourselves and say, hey, I'm here, I'm part of the family, and I'm worshiping with everyone. This is my community. This is my family. This is my house. These pastors, these leaders, they are my fathers. The leaders there are my mothers, and they're just, it's all about family. And so I want to call up the team. We have Jeremy and Astrid, and they're going to come up and they're just going to encourage the leadership. And I think we travel all over the world. Me and my wife, at the beginning, you guys could come up. At the beginning, around the springtime, we were in. Noi siamo stati in Italia. We were in Italy leading a missions trip in the springtime. We were in the Czech Republic over the summertime. I'm going to Tampa at the end of the month, so we do a fair bit of traveling around, and it's always fun to see what God is doing all over the world and celebrate that. But one of the key things we love doing is just coming around and encouraging people. That's like, it's one of my favorite things. I just love going on the streets and encouraging people. And sometimes it looks like healing, you know, God healing them of a sickness. Sometimes it looks like giving someone some money. So it looks like everything. It looks like Jesus invading that situation. But I'm going to hand over the mic, and they just want to encourage the leadership and bless you guys. You guys have been, again, just so phenomenal having us here. And this is Astrid, and this is Jeremy.
Hey, guys.
Crazy.
All right.
Great. Thank you so much for welcoming us here. And really, you have one of the best worship teams here. What I especially love about that you're so multicultural. It feels so much like in heaven when you worship with all the different nations together. Yes. Yeah. We said that we want to say some words for the pastors. And I said I want to give a word for Pastor Walt. If you could please stand up for me. Yes, because I, like the first evening, Friday night, I felt like I already knew some things about you, and I have written it down. And I think what I saw over the days has proved it. I saw that you have a big heart that embraces many, and Jesus loves you. He has given you wisdom. I saw it like a man that's like sees far and sees the big picture, but also has wisdom to understand where different people are at, and an ability to bring them together, to bring them in, to bridge. I saw you bridging. I mean, it's obvious nations, but also denominations. And I saw you taking away fences of fear. You were just like opening them up, taking them away, and creating freedom and bringing people together. Yes. Yes. And I just see that there is like much more coming, even in bringing together the different churches. And I just bless you.
Amazing. I have a word for Pastor Raphael. Pastor Raphael, if you could please stand up. Yeah, come on. Yeah. This morning I just took time, and because this whole leadership is so amazing, you guys. You are so blessed with leaders who love you, and the way they lead is so humble. Already how they have been hosting us and how this whole church has been hosting us has been amazing. But Pastor Raphael, just when I think of you, I think of a bulldozer. And it's a beautiful... and I feel God has positioned you here on purpose. Not just here in this church, but also Omaha, Nebraska. And I feel that you as a bulldozer, you will change the landscape of where you work in, not just in the physical, but also in the spiritual. You just go forth, you push forth, and nothing will stop you. You will leave fruitful ground behind you where people can plant seeds. You are one on the forefront. You will push the enemy's work away and give space to new things to be planted. Come on. And also, where you directed, it's so Holy Spirit-led. Like, you have an amazing ability to hear the voice of God. So where you move is not an accident. It's on purpose. And you're led, and you're an amazing leader. Let's bless Pastor Rafael. All right, and we also want to, in this first service, want to bless Pastor Jason. Pastor Jason, can you please get up? It wasn't hard to get a word for you either. As soon as I asked God, what is it about Pastor Jason, I saw this picture of like a space shuttle. And not a space shuttle, like a space rocket. Okay, and you know how when it takes off, it has these additional, like, turbines or, like, what are they called? Boosters, thank you. I feel that you are these boosters. You accelerate people into their destiny. Yeah. You take them to the place to where they can soar. Like, with so much speed, you take them from here to the orbit, to that gravity. Well, they just are. You take them there. You call people into their destiny. You take them there. You pour into them. And you do that for a lot of people. And that you're placed as a youth pastor is not just an accident. You are specifically placed there. And you're blessing so many in what you do. And it will resound in the whole area. And people will know your name for what you will do. And people will bring their children to you because they know what you carry. Amen.
Cool. Yeah. Good job, Austin. That's great. It's often said... I've heard it said that people would say, "Where? How do you know if children are happy, or how do you know if there's good parents?" You know, and usually the answer is you look at the face of the children. Like, how do you know if there's a good father or a good mother? You look at the face of the children. If the children seem happy, you know that the parents are doing something right. You know, and just been observing your family. I'm a visual artist. I was trained as a visual artist, and so part of my education was in observation. And so they just said, Francesco, you need to observe everything. And so it's so ingrained to me just to go places and observe everything. I watch body language and people, and, you know, not in an excessive way, but I just notice things that other people don't most of the time, you know. And I just noticed something real special about your family, and talking to your son yesterday and just meeting your daughter today, and Pastor Walt and Pastor Carrie, it's just been amazing. You guys are doing something right. You have something so beautiful about your family. And watching the fire in your son's eyes as he told me that dream last night, and I didn't even know it was your son. And I'm like, wow, there's something special about this young man, and even your daughter today, and just the kindness in her eyes and the joy in her heart. Like, that's just wonderful. It speaks so much about what you guys are doing. That's great. Yeah. All right, so we have a few minutes this morning. I wanted to just share a quick thing. I wanted to share about a season that I came into about December and January, and what I learned from that season, because I feel like it's something that you guys are, it's almost a word for you guys. It's a right now thing that I believe God wants to release and impart to you guys. And the question I have for you this morning is, what do you want? You know, what do you want? And I think as I was raised, I was raised in New York. And there was this mentality that was so permeating the culture that I was from. I'm from the Italian culture. And there's this saying that I was raised with, and it was called, Che sarà, sarà, whatever will be, will be. And it was kind of like this sort of thing. And I grew up really, I mean, so strange, but this is, I'm just being vulnerable. I grew up thinking, well, I wonder if if I'm going to be rich or poor when I grow up. I have no idea. Well, whatever will be, will be. I have no power to change that. Maybe when I grow up, I'm going to be fat. Maybe I'll be skinny. Maybe my wife will be fat. Maybe she'll be skinny. I don't know, but maybe we'll be happy. Maybe we'll be sad. I have no idea. You know, and I played this sort of like, I never realized it because it was just such a natural thing that I went through life with, but it was almost like I was a victim to life and I was a victim to circumstances. And I would get into a circumstance and there's an expression that people use in New York and it's like, well, what are you going to do? It is what it is. There's nothing you could do about it. It's just, that's the way things are, you know? And I would hear this, I was almost programmed like a computer since I was young, that finally when I started making it into an older stage of life, I mean, I'm a young man still, but as I started growing up, I was realizing circumstances would happen around me and I would just feel almost powerless. And I use this word power versus powerless, and I believe a good definition of power is the ability to change things around you, ability to change things inside of you and the ability to change things around you. Now, I know that Jesus is filled with power, right? And Jesus is the one who came to change things inside of us. And so it's Jesus is the one that changed things inside of me. I can't read enough self-help books, and I can't look in the mirror enough and say, Francesco, you're amazing. I don't believe that that would cause the amount of change as Jesus coming and me experiencing his love and experiencing his power and experiencing his mercy and his righteousness, his joy, his peace, his patience, everything about him, and that changing areas of my life. But where I come from is this area where it's like, well, I was just a victim to life, you know? And I would hear people say stuff like this. When I first got saved, they were like, Francesco, don't ask God for things. Like, that's arrogant. And because I was like, oh, one day I just want to be a famous artist. And they're like, fame will kill you. Don't ask for that. Don't ask God for your dreams. You know, like, and it was like almost this thing where I was like, oh, I have dreams on my heart. But they were like, they would continue to be shot down. And so I was like, oh, well, what if I want a great marriage? And they're like, you know, it was just this elusive thing that I felt like I could never attain, I could never catch. Does that kind of make sense? And I think the main ingredient that I was missing, and this is this journey that I've been on, is this idea of hope. And I think this is what we're in the middle of, whether you realize it or not, is we're actually in the middle of a hope revolution. And there's things that are happening right now on the earth where it's almost like a revolution of hope. And I've been traveling around quite a bit, and I've been hearing this theme of hope mentioned place after place after place. And I've been hearing people that and some of the underlying theme is that there's just hopelessness. And I'm like, oh, you just need hope. For example, this kills me to say this, you know, but when we were in Europe over in Italy over the springtime, there's such hopelessness because of jobs, right? And it's so sad. And a lot of my relatives are like, we're really sad. We have to go to other places to find jobs. And I have a good friend that he's just like, I have to find a job. And it was actually really amazing that we prayed for a number of people in Italy. And one guy ended up, we prayed for this guy on a Wednesday, on a Thursday morning. We prayed for him Wednesday for a job. Thursday morning, he gets a phone call out of nowhere from an agency wanting to hire him for a job. We were like, yes, Jesus, that is hope. That what that is called is hope. That's miraculous. It's amazing. I believe that there's jobs in heaven, so there's jobs on earth, you know. And so we're bringing heaven to earth. We're praying God's will in that way, you know. To the Hebrew culture, work was like a form of worship, you know. And so we're like, oh, this is great. But it's this component of hope that's like a hope revolution that's happening in this hour, and it's happening amongst the body of Christ. And I believe that the world is growing. Is like so hungry for this. It's so funny, like me and my wife will go into design shops and we'll see like pillows or we'll see posters and the word hope is written on a pillow and I'm like, in Macy's. And I'm like, that's so weird. You know, like, why is the word hope written on a pillow in Macy's? And I'm like, oh, I think the world doesn't realize that they're foreseeing this event that's happening that God is wanting to bring to earth. And God is like, hey, I'm scattering seeds all over the earth. Whoever picks them up is going to be blessed by that. And even if it's the world or not, but I believe that hope is such a main ingredient for that. And if we could use it this way, power is the ability to change. I believe that hope kind of facilitates that change, but hopelessness is about, hey, nothing will ever change. Well, my job is just the way it is. My boss is this way. My family is this way. This dynamics in my family, well, they'll never change. That's it. It's just the way it is, you know? And I know that Proverbs 13:12, It talks about hope. In one version it says, when hope is blocked, when there's no way that hope could pass through, when hope is blocked, it makes the heart sick. But when hope is fulfilled, it's a tree of life. And so I started reading that one day because I was in a season and I was like, man, I'm just feeling hopeless. And I'm like, man, it's almost like my heart is hurting. And I read this verse and I was like, oh yeah, my heart feels sick. Like I was living in the first part of the verse. And I was like, Jesus, I want to live in the second part of the verse. I want hope to be fulfilled. I want my prayers to be fulfilled. I want my dreams to be fulfilled. I want my desires to be fulfilled. I'm like, Lord, I need hope. I know that I need this in my life. I want this. I desire it. I need it. And I was like, well, but what's about this tree of life thing, you know? So I started reading more in the Bible, and I was like, came across the tree of life, and I'm like, well, the tree of life is in the Garden of Eden. That's amazing. That's Genesis chapter 1. So we got the tree of life. And then I realized that in Revelation chapter 2, it's written about the tree of life. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And so I started reading about the tree of life, and it says that in heaven, in the New Jerusalem, in Revelations 22, right, Pastor Mark? Pastor Mark, we were dialoguing about Revelation the other day and eschatology and all, and that there's the river of life that flows, that's flowing in heaven, and that on the shores, on the banks of the river is the tree of life. The next statement, though, really grabbed me. It says that the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Why do the nations need to be healed? I believe that because when hope is fulfilled, it's a tree of life. Therefore, I believe that healing of the nations is about restoring hope back to nations that have felt hopeless for years, that they believe that things have never changed, they can't change, the economy is the way it is, the job's the way it is, life is the way it is. But I believe in this hour, hope is being restored to the nations, and we're hearing tremendous stories and reports back from all that. Does that make sense? And so I guess my question is then, well, what do we focus on? What are you focusing on? What are you choosing? Because focus is a choice. You know, I could choose to focus on my circumstances, my problems, and all those things, and those become really big. But if I stop and I choose to focus on Jesus, right? Colossians 3, 2, Hebrews 12, 1, keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. If we keep our eyes fixed on heaven, on the things above, not on the things below, not on like my circumstances and all my problems, then they're not going to seem that big. It's not going to matter, you know? I'm like, oh, you know what? Right now I'm unemployed. Right now I don't have a job. But I know that Jesus, he is faithful and he's always been faithful. And in this season when I don't have faith to believe for a job, it's not the time to pray for a job. It's the time to worship. You know what I mean? Some people are like, oh, well, I have, like, my, you know, someone in my family has got a sickness, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to pray for them. But I'm like, I have no faith to pray for the sickness. Right now, the sickness looks way bigger than God. And all of a sudden, condemnation and shame comes into the believer and says, oh, well, you're supposed to have faith, and you're supposed to be a Christian, and Jesus has faith, and you're not good like Jesus, you know? And it tries to rob us from our destiny and our identity and our inheritance. And in that moment, I believe it's not the moment to try to muster up all this faith and let me pray all these prayers to try to get God to move, to do something that he already wants to do, that he already paid to do. It's a moment to stop and worship and remember Jesus Christ is the one who is faithful. He has been faithful. He is faithful. He will be faithful. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, which means that when I testify about what Jesus has done, it prophesies about what he will do, because if he did it for you, he could do it for me. And if he healed someone in my family from cancer, he can heal someone in your family from cancer. There's no difference between me and you. I'm a man just like you. Elijah was a man just like us, you know, and he prayed and God answered his prayer. And then, you know, he prayed that the rain would stop and God answered his prayer, you know, and I'm like, wow, that's amazing. There's no distance between us and God. And in those moments, it's not the time just to, well, I just feel so discouraged. Listen, we don't live by feelings. We live by faith, you know? And I'm one of these people that's like, I love feelings. Me and my wife, all we talk about is feelings, you know? Like, I'm a guy, you know, like, it's often talked about how guys are like, oh, I don't feel anything. And it's just, I feel everything. I am like, I am so sensitive, it's ridiculous, you know? And oftentimes my wife is like, oh, Francesco, it's okay. And I'm like, you know, I watch a movie and I'm crying. And she's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I don't know. It's just, you know, like I can't handle certain things, certain stories. And it's just kind of the way it is. And so we're always talking about feelings. And sometimes I'll come home and I'm like, Susanna, I just feel so discouraged. I feel so sad. And then she'll say the same thing. She's like, Francesco, I just feel so discouraged. I feel so sad about this event. We'll hear about someone's marriage breaking up. We have some good friends that their marriage are breaking up. And we just feel so sad, you know? And I'm like, wait a minute. Like, we don't live by feelings. We live by faith, you know? Like, you know, and then sometimes people are like, well, I don't feel like it. Listen, joy is a choice. Hope is a choice. Feelings, we're not governed by feelings, you know, like hope and joy, faith, all those things are choices, you know. And my wife comes out with this comment the other day. She goes, you know, our friends might be going through some marital problems right now, but she's like, I have so much hope for them, it's ridiculous. You just wait. Like in a year, they're going to be so united. They're going to have so much unity in their marriage. It's going to be crazy. She said, they're going to testify about this and they're going to be like, yeah, you know what? We went through a rough patch, but look what God took us through. Look what God did in our lives. Look what God did in our marriage. And I'm like, yes, that's the God we serve. We don't live by all these feelings. And so I just want to encourage you, if there's people that you're praying for, don't feel like you have to pray all these prayers in order to be heard. Listen, really simply, Jesus came to heal. Pray for healing. If in that moment you're like, oh, I'm super discouraged. Hey, not that that's okay. It's okay to be discouraged. It's okay. It's not okay to stay there for days and months and years, you know? And so what you focus on increases. It always does. It's just a principle. You focus on your finances, it increases. You focus on your marriage, it increases. You focus on your problems, it increases. You know, and so I just want to encourage you, focus on Jesus. Keep your eyes fixed on heaven. Keep your eyes fixed on the testimony of what Jesus did. My daughter can now hear. I mean, if you're going through any discouragement this week, celebrate someone else's breakthrough. You know, I mean, I love what Carissa said this morning, that Thanksgiving positions us for what God wants to do in the future. Listen, if I have a headache and I have cancer and God heals my headache, but I'm not thankful for the headache, what makes you think I'll be thankful when my cancer is healed? Do you know what I'm saying? And so I think what we need to get into is this season of feeling hopeful about our lives. And I believe that when we're hopeful, we start realizing that, you know what? I don't have a spirit of slavery, according to Romans chapter 8. I don't have a spirit. I have the spirit of adoption. I'm a son. God's called me a son. I testify that I'm a child of God. And God, he takes care of his children and he loves his children. You know, and if a child asks a father for a loaf of bread, you know, like, it's not going to give him a stone. And so I want to encourage you guys, ask and you shall receive and your joy may be made complete. So I was reading John 14, 15, and 16 for 1 month straight, a couple of years back, and it just changed my life. And I started realizing, I was reading it over and over again, and I was like, wow, Jesus is really repeating himself in this chapter. And I thought I was making a mistake by reading it. But I started going over, and I think there's about six times you could read it, right? John 14, 13, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do that my Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. All right. John 15, verse 7, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Huh, interesting, Jesus. You're saying that twice, three times now. You did not choose me, but I choose you to appointed you that you should go and bear fruit that should last, fruit that should abide. So whatever you ask in my name, it may be given to you. Wow, Jesus, you're really doing it here. What is the point? What is the point? Verse 23, chapter 16. In that day, you will ask, truly, truly, I say unto you, whatever you ask in my name, my Father in heaven will give it to you. Until now, you have not asked anything in my name. That's interesting. Ask and you shall receive, and your joy be made complete. Verse 26, in that day, you will ask in my name, and I will do this on my Father's behalf. All right. I had to read all those just to concrete this in. Listen, Jesus is encouraging us to ask. Why would we ask? So our joy can be made complete. Why do we ask? Because it's not about me having my dream fulfilled, only about me having my dream fulfilled and me being happy and like, oh, wow, that's great. I have my dream fulfilled. It's that my Father in heaven is glorified by that. What brings glory to the Father when the children are running around happy? You know, don't pray for finances because money will kill you. Listen, the love of money will kill you. If I love Jesus, right? Can I handle a little bit of money? Yeah, I'm asking God for wisdom in that area because I'm like, yeah, Lord, I want to be wealthy, not so that people could be like, oh, wow, look at Francesco. He's really wealthy. But I could say, no, I did nothing. This is a grace that came on my life, and it was wisdom that God gave me, and I want to be a blessing to other people. And it's not about me. It's about glorifying my Father in heaven. And I want to tell you a quick story about how I, it was about 5 years ago. I was just telling this to Pastor Walt this morning. About 5 or 6 years ago, I came to this realization that I love encouraging people. I just absolutely love it. I love encouraging people everywhere around the world. It's one of my favorite things. Sometimes it looks differently, but I love encouraging people. So I came up, I was going to sleep one night, and I was realizing that, like, you know, sometimes we go to sleep and we have dreams, and different people are in our dreams, and we call them up, and like, hey, you were in my dream last night. Like, okay, I'm seeing some nods, like that happens to people. That's good. That's good. And so one night I'm going to bed, and I just prayed this really strange prayer, and I admit it, so it was strange. And I said, Jesus, I would just absolutely love it if you can place me in people's dreams so that I can encourage them. I love encouraging people during the daytime, but when I'm sleeping, I'm missing out on like 6, 7, 8 hours of not encouraging people. I was like, Jesus, I want to encourage people full time. You know, like I want to be a full time encouragement person. And I was like, the only way I could see that happening is if you put me in people's dreams so I can encourage them. So a month goes by. I don't hear anything about anyone that I'm in anyone's dream. And I'm like, all right, that's fine. Maybe month number two will bring some sort of, you know, success. Nothing, right? 5 years later, I come into this season, right? And at this point, I had completely forgot about that prayer that I had prayed. Because I was like, oh, I thought to myself, oh, it's not happening. Therefore, it must have been ridiculous. Therefore, God must have not answered it. And, oh, well, I'll never say that in public because I don't want to embarrass myself. Because I don't want to put my hope in something that might not come true. That's the mentality. I don't want to put my hope in a healing that might not come true. So I'm going to choose to step back and maybe stay in a little bit of self-pity and hopelessness instead of being like, no, no, no. I know that God's faithful. And he doesn't answer the prayer the way I expect, which is a good thing. Because if he did everything the way I expect, I think things would be jumbled and chaotic, you know? And luckily, God is God, and he does what he wants, and he loves his children. And so 5 years go by, and at the time, I'm teaching in a high school. It was a Christian high school, and it was the second year I'm teaching. And in the first year, there was a student who had come through, and he had graduated, and he went to architecture school. But right around 2013... And about mid-December, I'm walking down the hallway. The student comes walking up to me and says, hey, Mr. Sedelli. I said, oh, hey, Ben, how you doing? And he goes, good. I said, where are you at? You're at architecture school, right? And so he was telling me he's in Southern California. And I said, how's architecture school going? And he goes, man, it's really tough, really, really tough. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. And he goes, I have one professor. He was just super discouraging all the time. He was just really discouraging. And he said, but let me tell you what happened one day. He said, one day I went into one of the finals and I showed all my artwork and the teacher just looked at me and he goes, this is horrible. You're never going to become a good architect. You're never going to do well in this or whatever. And he said he was so discouraged and he was so like shocked that this guy spoke to him like that. He said he went back home and he took a nap. He was just so exhausted from doing all of his finals. He says, I went to sleep and when I went into the dream, you appeared to me. And he said, you had a book in your hand, and you had a bunch of sketches in it, and you walked up to me, you opened up the book, you showed me your artwork, and I showed you my architecture artwork, and you encouraged me about my future and about my architecture. And I was like, really? And I was more shocked than he was. And I was like, Jesus, you're so faithful. Let me tell you, the next part of it, and I'll kind of close with this part, is that the next part is me and my wife, a week later, are traveling to a church we have never been to before, traveling to a city we've never been to before. And I come into the church, I preach a message on a Saturday night. After the message, this young man comes up to me and he goes, hey, Francesco, I got to talk to you. I said, all right, well, what's going on? And he goes, Francesco, you're never going to believe this, but you're my best friend. And I was like, well, that's good news. This guy seems encouraged. Like, that's great. And he goes, no, you don't understand. For the past year and a half, You have been showing up to me in my dreams, and you've been encouraging me about my life and about my future. I know that sounds out of the box. I did nothing to earn that. I didn't strive or work. It was God's grace. He answered a prayer from 5 years ago. And I was like, that's remarkable. And so now I have this really weird relationship with him that I show up in his dreams and I mentor him in his dreams. He texts me like a month later and he goes, you showed up in my dream last night. And I said, what did I do? And he said, you told me this and you said that. And I was like, Jesus, what does that mean? And then I told him the interpretation of it. And he goes, this is so good. Thank you so much. And I'm like, all right, man. And I check in on him. How's your job doing? How's your family doing and stuff? We dialogue. But I'm like, so weird, you know? But what was the purpose of that? Was that I came into a spot of realizing, I'm like, wait, 5 years ago I prayed this, what I thought was a silly prayer. And God answered it because if it's important to me, it's important to him. And not to demean anything that is on my heart, right? But what was really important was the next season that I got into was all about learning that God answers prayer. So by faith, I was like, wait a minute. I don't want to just feel fat and full that I'm like, oh, this is great. God answers my prayer. Yay. And then rejoice in that. Yes, it's great that God is glorified in that. But I believe he was wanting to teach me something. And the thing that he was wanting to teach me was, hey, your words matter and your prayers matter. So pray them. And so what I did was in January, I realized that my wife, she really wanted a part-time job. We needed some extra finances. And so all of a sudden, I was like, I was so filled with faith because what just happened and that situation, and that was a number of situations that happened, not other dreams, but things that had happened. And I started to speak out to my wife and just say, I started to speak out and declare, make declarations. And I said, I declare that my wife will get a part-time job, that it will provide community for her, that she will feel fulfilled in what she's doing. And on her birthday, 4 months later, she gets a phone call randomly out of nowhere from some friends that have a ministry. They have people all over the world coming to this ministry to get counseling. And they said, Susanna, we really love you. We believe in you and we want to hire you to help us build our ministry together. We feel like you're a perfect fit. And I'm like, Jesus, you are so faithful. If you answer our prayers. So what do you want? What do you want? And so I think we're going to go into a time of worship and just, if you just write down some things that you want with the confidence and the faith that God will answer them, maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow. And it's not even, I don't want to even say it like a timing thing, but God is going to answer the prayer. You know, some of you have been praying for things for 5 years, for 10 years, for 20 years. And I believe that you're going to enter into a season that's coming about right now that God is going to answer prayers that you're like, you know what? I forgot about that prayer. And guess what? God is so faithful. He's going to answer thoughts that you have. I've been in seasons where I don't even form the words on my lips. All I do is think a thought. And the next day, God answers the thought. And I'm like, God, you're even more faithful than I could even imagine. No eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor has ever entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those that he loves, for his children. And I'm like, I thunk a thought, however that works, you know, but I did it. It was only trapped in my mind. I didn't even make it to words, you know? So I just want you to just activate. I believe that there's something real pregnant in the atmosphere right now of what do you want? It's okay to ask. Listen, I'm surrendering my will to the best of my ability to God's heart. Okay, so I'm not praying these selfish things, these vain things. You know, I think Jesus said, or Paul said, don't pray for vain things and selfish things, you know. And he was talking about, James said it, I'm sorry, and James. He's talking about worldliness and being jealous about other people's possessions. He's not talking about your dreams and desires that you have. What are you going to choose to focus on? Just as an act of like a symbolic act before the Lord, if you just put your hands out in front of you, just like this, just like it's Christmas morning, like you're receiving a gift. What do you do to receive a gift on Christmas morning? Nothing. You just show up. You might even eat some cookies. You might even still be in your pajamas. You're doing nothing to earn that gift. Listen, I did nothing to earn God's righteousness. Jesus, in his mercy and in his grace and in his love. Listen, realize that you're a son and a daughter and that your words matter so much to Jesus Christ. if you feel unworthy, that you can't ask God for something, man, attack that. That is so not God's heart. Everyone needs a king like Jesus. Everyone wants a king like Jesus. And everyone wants a father like God in heaven, whether they realize it or not. Listen, if I asked to show up in people's dreams because I wanted to encourage them and it didn't happen for 5 years, what could you ask now that God wants to fulfill in your life that you would just keep on praying for, keep on believing for?